Well, the last day of the year. I checked on the calendar. If you haven't got everything done this year, you'll be pleased to know that next year you've got an extra day to do it. How many people have heard, how many of you have heard, or maybe said yourselves, I'm glad to see the back of this year. Or maybe, I hope next year will be better than this. Probably there's plenty of other things that people have said about this year. Not all of them would be able to be said here in church. But I wonder, are we missing out on the blessings that God has brought us this year? Have we forgotten about those, or have we sort of washed over those and just taken them as being normal? You know, the Bible is full of passages that encourage us to look back, to look past over the past. Psalm 105, verse 5 says, remember the wonders he has done, he being God, of course, his miracles and the judgments that he pronounced. And it goes on. But while we've got that in mind, let's take a brief excursion. When I read it through this morning, I noticed that I said excursion. That's what I wrote. So it's not that, it's excursion into this year for the people of Cornerstone. If you cast your mind back to around about this time last year, well, just a little bit after, we were in a state of uncertainty. We knew that our tenure at Waikuku College was coming to an end. We knew that our services down at the beach, while pleasant, were not really sustainable. Likewise, our services that we had down at St. Andrews. They were pleasant, they were good, and we were grateful for it, but they weren't really a sustainable option. Then, seemingly out of the blue, we had the purchase of this building put before us. And this brought a whole lot of excitement. And to be honest, more than a little uncertainty. How are we all going to fit? Are we going to be able to pay for it? It's a pretty old building. Are we going to be able to look after it? Then, of course, it all happened, and then came the big move. The settling in, the experiments and seating, the wonderment of how wonderful our singing had become. First time in here, we were just, you know, just over the top. The frustration with the air conditioning. You'll be pleased we've got most of the units working. There's two that aren't. And then came winter. Multiple layers of clothing, blankets on the pews, the blankets are still there, a heater that offered little more than a pre-election promise, that wasn't really funny. Now we find ourselves at the end of the first year, and while it's absolutely marvellous to be here and able to worship in our own building, the understanding that we had right at the beginning, before we even purchased this place, that more development was going to be needed, it continues to mature. That understanding is developing and it continues to mature. Just on another note, Lynn Davis has published a book on the history of Cornerstone, of the fellowship, Waikuku Assembly of God, now called Cornerstone. If you haven't got a copy, you need to front up with a couple of bucks. I'm not sure how many, 15 or something? Money? $15. And Lynn, who's down the back on the sound, she's on the sound desk this morning too. And she will be able to provide a copy for you. I highly recommend it. There's nothing like our journey being documented like that. This book gives us a brief overview of the blessings that God has poured upon us as a community. That's not really the goal of the book, but you can see the blessings as you go through it. In less than 1 year, the last year, God has changed us from being a nomadic community to being owners and occupiers of a place that we can call home. Now, that's a blessing. In my books, does anybody disagree? I think it's a real blessing, isn't it? I too can see what's, when looking over my own life, how my Heavenly Father has watched over me and guided me through a life that could have turned out way different and on occasion way shorter. I'll just give a couple of examples. In 1965, some of us can remember 1965. They tell me if you remember the 60s, you weren't really there, but I was a bit young for that. I was in primary school and I vividly remember a bizarre thought that came to my mind one day. I had no idea what prompted a 7 to 8 year old, so I'm not sure exactly how old I was, to be thinking about such things. But I had this thought that God had a wife somewhere for me. 8 year old? What on earth is he doing? Anyway. And that he might even have to bring her from the other side of the world. I can remember a picture of, I didn't actually see the person, but the place where that person might be looked a little bit like Coronation Street. So black and white, 1965. I've lost my place. It's because of my eyes. And I remember thinking that it was highly unlikely, this was a little bit later, that I would be married before at least 5 years. That was in 1977, that's right. It would be at least 5 years, I could see, before I could even think about being married. Well, before the end of 1978, I was married. I married Jane. Yes. And Jane just happened to have left England in 1965 and arrived here early in 1966. I didn't know God personally until 1982. So his timetable, so 1965, 1978, 1982, his timetable is far bigger than ours. One other not quite so pleasant experience. In 1994, I was diagnosed with cancer. It was, I was told it was incurable and that I was likely got about 5 years to go. Well, I guess God didn't get that memo. I'm still here and fighting fit, so look out. So I could continue, but I'm not. That's not what I'm here about. But these are two examples to me, of the faithfulness and the loving kindness of my God, who said he would never leave me, he would never forsake me. One benefit of being my age, and you could work out more or less what my age is the ability to look over the tapestry of your life and not only see the contours and the blessings and the colours, but remember the context that built those colours, that painted those colours. And I can say that I never saw coming, saw what was coming. Like I said, 1977, minimum 5 years before I would be married. I didn't mention that in 1979 we had a child and a mortgage as well, but there you go. I never saw what coming, and I never realised the blessings until well after they came. I knew I was blessed when I found Jane, but I didn't know how blessed, and I'm probably still working on that one, but certainly I've got a much better picture than I had back then. And the story of this church, as I alluded to before, is much the same. When we moved from the Civic Centre to the college, I had no idea the positive impact on the church. When we bought the Valley Road property and then later sold it to purchase the Mountain Street property, we had no idea where that would lead us. And Mountain Street was a difficult tenure, was it not? We spent many years hoping, thinking, praying, expecting, and it didn't turn out the way we thought. But it turned into an amazing blessing for us, because Martin Street has now become this place. I should have brought my glasses down here. Man, sorry, my apologies. So as I stand in this building, I'm grateful to God. There will almost certainly be ups and downs. Thank you, dear. See, what a blessing. Or maybe it's just frustration with her, I don't know. But I do know with absolute certainty that it will be ultimately good, our journey from here on. Even through the hard times, that's what we've got to remember. Through the hard times, it's going to be good. Through the good times, we don't know how good it's going to get. I know the ups and downs will be building strength, faith, thanksgiving, humility and wisdom into this community of believers. And, of course, to the community we serve. That's what we're about. So how do I know this? I know this because I know from my personal experience, and I've only mentioned a couple of things, that my Father is faithful and just and good and all-knowing and all-powerful and ever-present. So that if you were a betting man and I'm not, that's what you put your money on, isn't it? I mentioned at the beginning that the common theme for this time of year is to reflect on how hard it has been. And the common hope, and it's usually a hope without hope, that next year will somehow be better. So I'm going to ask us if we could just spend a couple of minutes not thinking so much about the hard times that we survived as to how the Lord has and is turning those experiences to good. We could apply the same process to the good times, of course, as well. That we're all here this morning, despite what we have experienced, is a good start, don't you think? If I had my life cut short at 22 or 24, whatever, it would be sad for me. Well, hopefully sad for you too. Okay. So when the music starts playing, we're going to spend some time just thinking and thinking about the good times, thinking about the bad times, but thinking more about the blessing that God has brought upon us through those times, through those experiences. Maybe some of those things, those memories, will make you wince. Some of those things that you've said or done, you may wish that you could take back and erase. Those wonderful times that fill you with joy as you recall them, those people that have spoken words of life and hope into dark and horrible situations. Now, while we're doing this, I know that some of you, this process of reflection will be difficult, maybe impossible at this time. If that is you, please feel free just to sit back and let our God embrace you through the music. If you're trying to think what the song is, it's the blessing that we've sung quite a lot recently without the words. So whatever your situation, whether you're able to think about your past year and what has brought you and what God is doing with it, or whether that's just somewhere you just can't go to this morning, don't be surprised if Jesus has something special for you this morning.